Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:50 British Summer Time. Today is July 24th. And starting off in Asia this morning, it was a relatively quiet day. The Hang Seng was down about 0.8%, the Nikkei down about 0.25%. The ASX was up just marginally on the day. It was reasonably quiet on the majority of Asian stock markets, given the fact that the majority of indices, particularly North America, finished off their lows yesterday. I think there was a bit of wait and see going on in Asia this morning. The A-share index in China was also reasonably quiet. What if yesterday's reasonably strong close on a number of markets was to have been convincing, then we should have seen upside follow through in here today. And there was a distinct lack of that type of action. The Spanish IBEX, having been down as much as 5% yesterday, finished down at about down in the region of 1%. That could have initiated short covering in here today, but that did not happen. The market was down 3.5%. The Italian index was down 2.7%. They were by far the largest decliners. Most other markets in Europe were down, but none of them were lower are down by more than 1%. The Eurostoxx 50 was down by 1.25%. As we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down about 1%, the S&P 500 down 1.2%, and the same for the Nasdaq Composite. In the government bond markets, there has been some talk of a potential downgrade of German debt, and German Bunds are back to 145. They're down about 0.5%. They had rallied remarkably persistently over the last month. The German Bunds had found support in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range about a month ago. They rallied very persistently right up to test their peak, and they've encountered a little bit of resistance in that region. There hasn't really been anything in the way of large downward dynamics to suggest that a medium-term peak is in, but certainly a period of consolidation has begun. And given the fact that if one looks objectively at Germany and the size of its unfunded deficits and the fact that the banking system is under severe pressure, if one actually looks at the German banking system and how many of its banks are actually listed on a stock market, then to the best of my knowledge, there are only three or four German banks that are listed at all. The majority sit in the hands of regional governments or the federal government in Germany. And that also hides the condition of their respective balance sheets from public scrutiny. So there are legitimate arguments for why Germany shouldn't necessarily have a AAA rating. Of course, it is by far the best capitalized of the European countries. It has a remarkably strong industrial base upon which to build. But just as there are problems with just about any country, Germany is not immune from a questioning, and that is certainly how the market should perform. Elsewhere in the sovereign bond markets, US treasuries were stronger by 25 ticks. They're up to almost 153. The UK gilt is also a bit stronger in here. It's up very slightly on the day. We continue to see that sovereign bonds, particularly outside the Eurozone, have been a tower of strength. They are experiencing an impressive momentum move. And while one might argue that they don't represent particularly good value at these levels, there's no indication yet that this move has ended. In the commodity complex, gold reversed an earlier decline to finish up almost $5 on the day. The same with oil. Oil was down at $87.43 earlier in the day. It finished out the day at 88.64, up 50 cents. Natural gas extended its advance above the $3 area. It's at 3.16. Elsewhere in the precious metal sector, platinum was down $14. It's right down there at its lows. Silver was down 10 cents. It's at 26.93. It's also in the lower region of this trading range. And palladium was down 8. It's coming back towards this $550 area. In the soft commodities sector, following a substantial pullback yesterday, and that was following a remarkably impressive advance by the grains and beans, soybeans extended its decline. It's now forming a weekly key reversal. So is oats. Corn paired a substantial decline into the close. It closed down only 7, having been as low as 745.5. It closed out the day at 778.25. It retraced almost the entire decline intraday. And wheat is a relatively similar story. It didn't retrace quite as much of its decline as corn did, but it's still well off its lows on the close. We have entered a period of at least consolidation in the grain and bean complex. Soybeans has been by far the strongest and perhaps the most consistent, and it has now followed through on yesterday's key reversal. It's forming a weekly key reversal. This is a peak of at least near-term significance. Corn has held up a bit better. This may be no more than a consolidation. Soybeans does suggest that it is going to pull back in a more violent fashion. The fact that these commodities have become so remarkably volatile does leave them susceptible to big swings both up and down. This is, from a risk-reward perspective, I'm not tempted to participate because I don't believe that the risk-reward is in my favor. I prefer to attempt to shoot fish in a barrel, and participating in these soft commodities at present doesn't represent shooting fish in a barrel, at least from my perspective. Elsewhere in the soft commodities sector, lumber was limit up on Friday. It was positive yesterday. It was down very slightly in here today. The sugar price was relatively steady. And in the currency markets, the euro was down 44 ticks. It's right down here to the 120 area. The pound was a little bit firmer in here today. The yen was reasonably strong. The Aussie dollar was pretty much unchanged, as was the Canadian dollar. This remains a very uncertain period. One has to look back at what happened last year, and into the end of July, severe pressure was put on stock markets. There are relatively logical reasons for that. Wolfgang Schäuble, the German finance minister, goes on a 3-week holiday tomorrow, and that's reflective of the holiday season right across continental Europe, where people take off the end of July and the beginning of August pretty much universally. And it does then reflect a time when, if you want to express a bearish view or you want to tamper with the markets, then this represents a 3-week window in which, if you want to express a bearish view, that you might actually come up with a favorable result. And that does suggest that we're now seeing, particularly in Spain and in Italy, that those bearish views are being expressed. The European banking sector has been underperforming, particularly when one looks at relative charts. And I think I posted those late last week of a number of global financial sectors relative to their respective indices, that the European banking sector was underperforming by a significant margin. It's been doing that for a considerable period of time, even though we've seen that banking sectors have generally moved to positions of outperformance elsewhere. That's certainly not the case in Europe or indeed in Switzerland. There are non-trivial issues with the banking sectors. There was, I think it was an EU person was quoted on condition of anonymity saying that Greece hadn't a prayer of fulfilling its repayment targets, and nothing has happened in terms of reform in Greece over the last couple of months because of the various elections that it has gone through, that it could well need additional restructuring of its debt. That's certainly not encouraging from the perspective of stability in Europe. You had the German finance minister and the Spanish finance minister today saying that the rate at which Spanish bonds are trading doesn't reflect the fundamentals of the Spanish economy. But the big question is to what extent they're willing to make concrete steps to intervene in that market. Because each one of the Spanish autonomous regions is likely to need some form of assistance. The banking sector is broke. The property market continues to deteriorate. There is extremely high unemployment, and one has to wonder what the growth strategy is that's going to break this cycle of debt deterioration. And from that perspective, then, Spanish government bonds trading at an absolute level of 7.5% is probably reasonably fair. So this remains a really quite uncertain period, and particularly for European stock markets. But against that background, it pays to approach this the markets from a clinical perspective rather than an emotional perspective, because when we look at shares that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer, then they continue to outperform. A considerable number haven't particularly been affected by what's been happening over the last couple of days really at all. And that would suggest that whereas the majority of column inches are certainly focused on the Eurozone, because that is certainly the biggest news item out there, that the secular theme of the greatest urbanization in history and the rising of hundreds of millions of people out of poverty and into the middle classes is not going to be affected by the problems that are in Europe at present. Now, these problems aren't going to be fixed until there are substantive moves towards either a federal Europe or the breaking up of the Eurozone. Now, they're going to avoid the latter at all costs, in which case a federal Europe is what the most likely scenario is going to be, and the question is rather how long it is going to take. The pace with which things have been moving forward is going to have to speed up if this crisis is going to be brought under control. And in the meantime, we are in this risky 3 weeks in which people who wish to express a bearish view are likely to attempt to push markets lower, and particularly those that are faced with serious debt problems. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.